Brian among us, and he will be our guest preacher for today. And I'll let Pastor Brian introduce himself.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I take this? Is that okay? All right. All right. Glad to be back here, Canaan. And that is good to be here to preach the word this morning. And I want to talk about forgiveness a little bit. Oh, I'm supposed to introduce myself, huh? No, I am the pastor at Lord's Grace Christian Church in Mountain View. My beautiful wife is here today. And did you know that her and Jamie went to church together when they were in high school? Is that when it was? They haven't seen each other for some years. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like 5, 10 years, maybe, since high school. Yeah. What else is interesting? My kids are here for the first time, too. But they're up in the youth breakout. And they're so happy not to have to hear the sermon from me. So that's good. Praise God. I wanted to talk about forgiveness today. And I want to share you a story about this pastor I know named Pastor Shamron from my home church in Oakland. I grew up in Oakland at this giant Swedish church. Yeah, oddly enough. Because it was near our house. And, my family went to this church. It was 1,000 blonde people and our family at this church. And it was really weird. But sometime later, as the church started to get more diverse, probably partly because of our family, right, they actually adopted a Cambodian church in Oakland and started taking them in. My kids call them the church in the basement because they meet in the downstairs of the church. But their pastor is this amazing man named Pastor Shamron. And in December of 2006, my parents and my sister were able to go on a mission trip with him to Cambodia and visit some of the villages that he does ministry to. Because Pastor Shamron, he has his whole church here of Cambodians who are living in Oakland, but he also continues to minister village by village in Cambodia from the place where he came from. And on this particular trip, Shamron wanted more than anything else, because Shamron was he was a victim of the killing fields in Cambodia. And that's how he became a refugee here and ended up in Oakland. And his story is really an amazing story of God's provision, because he actually got caught up and imprisoned because he was accused of stealing in the middle of the killing fields. And that was a time when the dictator Pol Pot decided that everybody should just go back to a rural existence. And so they were going to kill everybody who was educated. They were going to kill anybody who had any resistance towards his leadership. And he ended up killing millions and millions of Cambodians, his own people. And Shamron was one of those people at that time. He was accused of stealing, put into a concentration camp, and he was constantly tortured and abused, particularly by this one guard who just hated him. And one day, it was a flood time, rainy season in Cambodia. That day, he just knew that this guard was going to try to pull something on him. And that guard pulled a gun on him and dragged him out into the rice paddies that were flooded from the rain. And Shamron said, "I just knew that this guy was going to kill me." And that's what this guy tried to do. He basically took him into the flooded rice paddy and tried to drown him. And he beat him and he tortured him until he had nothing left. And he left Shamron just drowning in the rice paddy, and then he left. And Shamron tells this story that he doesn't know how he survived, but he was able to drag himself up onto this one small piece of dry land in this whole drowned, flooded territory. He pulled himself up, and he just sat there until he recovered, and he spent the next 5 weeks, barely any energy, no food. He dragged himself all the way to freedom. He escaped so many times, people finding him and catching him, but somehow he just says in his story he was able to be free, and eventually he made it to Thailand, where he got it to a refugee camp, and then he made it here to the United States. 2006, many years later, he'd already gone, he became a pastor, and he was so thankful that God saved him. In 2006, he's taking a trip, and my parents, who are, if you knew them, they are 4-star hotel people. So why they went on a mission trip to Cambodia, I don't know. But I had just started here at Lord's Grace, so I couldn't go, thank God. Okay, because I wouldn't want to have to drag them through the mud of Cambodia. But my sister went. Praise God for her. I don't think she's ever recovered from it. Yeah. And he went on this trip, and they're just doing what they're supposed to do. They're meeting with kids, doing VBSs throughout Cambodia. They're going from village to village and preaching the gospel and baptizing people. This is a picture of that in the river of Cambodia, right? But all along the way, Pastor Shamron is asking, do you know where this guard is? Because he knew the name of the guard who had beaten and tortured him and left him for dead. And he's going through village to village, going deeper and deeper away from the city. And is that me doing that? What's the thing? Okay. All right. It's flashing. And along the way, they're saying, yeah, he's in the next village. He's just this way. You can find this guard. And he is on this mission to find this man. And finally, after many days, and my parents say they had to, like, so many times the bus got stuck in the middle of a mud pit. And my poor, at that time, in their 50s, parents were in the back of a mud pit pushing a bus out of the thing, you know. And they get into this village and they find this guy. And he's old. He's old at this point, and he's one of the leaders in this village. And Pastor Shamron goes up to him and says, "You remember me?" And the guard says, "No, I don't remember you." No. And Shamron says, "You're the one who beat me. You tortured me. You left me for dead." And the guy's afraid. The guard is afraid. Because here's Shamron. He's pretty ripped for a pretty old Cambodian dude. And this old, frail Cambodian guy. And he's like, "What are you going to do to me?" And Shamron says, "Because of you, I met Jesus Christ. And so I've come all this way to tell you, I forgive you. I forgive you for what you've done." And they, over these years, so since 2006, 12, 13 years, every year Shamron goes back and visits this man. And he shares the gospel with him, and they spend time together. They're friends. Isn't that amazing? And Shamron always says, "Yeah, I always tell him, you need to accept Jesus." And the guy says, "I'm a Buddhist. I will never change." And he still hasn't. But this friendship has continued. And isn't that an amazing story of forgiveness? That's the kind of story I always heard growing up about forgiveness in church. And it's a funny thing because now as a pastor and maybe just as a congregant, I know that there are stories of forgiveness that are powerful and amazing. And this is true. My parents have seen it. My sister would testify to it. But not only that, it's funny because in church, forgiveness doesn't always look like that. There are tons and tons of broken relationships and hurts in the church. And we sometimes hear stories like that and we wonder, why isn't my story like this? Maybe you've hurt somebody and you wish that they would forgive you. And maybe you have people in your life, family, friends, that you wish you could forgive and you wonder, God, how come I can't be like Pastor Shamron? Because what he went through is so much worse than I've gone through. But somehow, God, I can't find forgiveness in my heart. Some of that has to do with our culture. Some of that has to do with our misunderstanding about what forgiveness is. And that's why I wanted to come and share this message with you. Because I want you to be able to leave this place. If you have a relationship that is unforgiven, to be able to leave this place ready to forgive. So let's pray, and then we're going to look at God's Word. Father God, I thank you because you are a God of forgiveness. And first and foremost, we want to remember you forgave us. And so as we hear your word and your plea to us, Lord Jesus, to be a forgiving people, if we're going to follow you, Father God, we pray that the forgiveness you've given us will be the starting point of everything you speak to us this morning, God. And as we take it out into this world, into the unforgiven relationships in our lives, into our relationship with you, as we seek forgiveness, as we seek the ability to forgive, Father God, be the strength of our lives and of our hearts this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Asian people aren't good at forgiveness. We don't do forgiveness. We often hold grudges forever. And if you grew up in an Asian family, like most of you did, then you've probably seen that from your parents or your grandparents or your aunts and uncles, that you don't forgive anybody. You just bury it deep down inside and push it down, and let that relationship die and ignore that person at the supermarket and just pretend nothing's happened. But you know that there's something broken going on. But I want you to understand, as followers of Christ, we're called to something more when it comes to brokenness and relationship. And we see that in the Word of God. and in our scripture today. Jesus calls us to something more, and Peter actually asked Jesus this in Matthew 18. He says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? That seems like a lot. But Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. This is NIV, different from what he read this morning, right? And some scriptures say it's not 77 times. It's like, he says it's like 770 times sometimes in some manuscripts, right? So Jesus says, no, don't forgive somebody 7 times. Forgive infinite numbers of times. That's pretty much what he's saying. Like beyond what's possible, you are supposed to forgive. And then Jesus goes into this story. I'll tell it to you quickly again, because it's long. And let me just read it for you. Because Jesus wants to tell him a story to understand the stakes. What are the stakes of not forgiving somebody? And so he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And Jesus says, at the end of this, he says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Those are high stakes, right? It's not just about whether you feel bad about a broken relationship or whether you have the opportunity to forgive somebody. Jesus says, you have received amazing forgiveness from God. And how could you not forgive in the same way somebody who's hurt you much less than you've hurt me? And he says, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister. This man in this story is thrown into jail to be tortured until he pays everything back. And yet, somehow, even though we read this, forgiveness can really seem impossible. Certainly, forgiveness in any kind of infinite form. To think that you can be someone who always forgives people who hurt you. But I want to teach you some things about forgiveness this morning. Hopefully what they'll do is help you understand that forgiveness is always in reach and why forgiveness is just so important for us as people of Christ. Okay, so let's look. One of the reasons I think that we don't forgive is that we don't really understand what forgiveness is. And we've got it all mixed up with other ideas in our mind. And so the number one thing I want to teach you this morning is that forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Okay? So there's two ideas in the scriptures. One is forgiveness, and one is reconciliation. And a lot of times we have these things messed up. We put them together and think that they're the same thing. But they are not. In the Bible, they are not the same thing, and in life, it's not the same thing. We should be able to forgive, even if it's not reconciliation. So what's the difference? Forgiveness actually has more to do with what's happening between you and God than it has to do with the other person. And sometimes when you think about a broken relationship you have, you probably are thinking, this can never go back to normal. Reconciliation is all about something that is broken being brought back together as one. right back the way it was before. And maybe you have a broken relationship. Maybe somebody's hurt you. Maybe you feel separated from your parents or from your siblings, and you think, we can never have this whole perfect relationship like we had at one point. We'll never be able to reconcile, and I'll never be able to forgive. But actually, these are two totally separate concepts, because reconciliation requires things that forgiveness doesn't, right? Forgiveness requires... reconciliation requires some remorse, right? Number one, if somebody hurts you, they need to be able, if you want to reconcile and bring it back together, they need to recognize what they've done and actually be sorry about it. Now, in June, there's this new movie coming out, and it's produced by Steph Curry of the Warriors. I hope they win. This game starts at 12:30, so I'm going to do this sermon shorter. Okay. Steph Curry's producing this movie about the Charleston shootings, the church shootings that happened in South Carolina. And I was at this conference last week. We got to see it. The first people to ever see the whole, right? And it was a great movie about these churchgoers and the families of the people who were killed and their ability to forgive. But there's this one scene, and I don't know if you saw it. I'd seen the whole scene before on the news because I was so curious about what would happen with this church and what would happen with this guy. And they were attacked. If you don't know the story, this Caucasian guy with guns walks into a Bible study at a black church in South Carolina, and he sits with them, you know? And it's just their weekly Bible study. There's a bunch of them sitting together, and then he just gets up and he shoots everybody except for one woman. And he tells her, "I'm keeping you alive so you could tell a story of what I've done." He's arrested. She's alive, you know, and she goes and the police get him. And there's this moment where he is in cuffs and he's in custody, and the families of those who had been killed have an opportunity to meet with him and look him face to face. Except he's just an awful, remorseless person, right? And he's just spewing hate and how much he hates black people. And so they don't let him see him in person. It's on video. And they have this moment where these family members of the dead are gathered together in this room. And up on the wall, there's just one little screen. And he comes out. And he's in cuffs. And there's just nothing but hate on his face. He's not sorry. He doesn't care about what he's done. He's not there to say, "I'm sorry for what I took from you." He says nothing. He has an opportunity to say anything, and he doesn't. Nothing but hate. And I just was so like, what's going to happen now? And from behind, there's just one voice. It's a woman's voice. I don't know who says it. It just comes out. "I forgive you." And then another one. "I forgive you." And then pretty soon, all of these family members gathered in this room looking at this guy, looking at them with hate. And they're just all saying, "We forgive you. We forgive you. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I forgive you." And they're chanting it, and it's powerful. And the guy's face never changes. It's like he doesn't hear it, but he does. "I forgive you." Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation would be if Dylann Roof said, "I'm so sorry for what I've done. I don't know what I was thinking. Whatever." But in the face hate, and in the face, no hope for reconciliation, forgiveness can happen. And this is the number one message I want to give you today, is that if you have a broken relationship, you don't need it to get all back together to forgive. You can forgive. Why? Next point. Because forgiveness is not about a relationship coming back together. Forgiveness is first and foremost, it's a spiritual act. It has more to do with your relationship with God than it has to do with your relationship with this person that hurt you or that you hurt. You can forgive because God forgave you. And the relationship that is affected when you don't forgive is not the relationship with that person. It's the relationship with God. And God wants you to be a person of infinite forgiveness 770 times. Because more than anything, when you do not forgive, the relationship that's broken is our relationship with God. And so when we hold on to that unforgiveness, and when we latch on to our brokenness in relationships, and we won't forgive somebody, what happens is a bitterness to God. Like, why, God? Why am I stuck in this horrible situation? When we forgive, we are mending that relationship with God. That's it. Because forgiveness is a spiritual act. It's not an emotional one. It's not a relational one. It's an act of something amazing that happens between you and God. The kind of amazing thing that can make a mother who just lost her son who was at Bible study look in the face of his killer and say, I forgive you. Because something was happening there between her and God that she could be the first to blurt out. I forgive you. I forgive you. Forgiveness depends on the attitude of the offender. Okay, so the difference between, as I told you already, forgiveness and reconciliation are different depending on the attitude of the offender. If the person who's offended in this situation is not remorseful, you can still forgive, but you can never reconcile. Okay, and that goes with this. Forgiveness, and this is important for most of us, especially if you've been hurt very badly by somebody, forgiveness is not the absence of consequences. And I think in times when I've had a relationship that was broken and I've been set in a situation where I have to forgive, the thing that bothers me most is, if I forgive this person, does that mean he's scot-free? Like, oh, you're forgiven. Now it's okay. It's all okay. But forgiveness is not like that. Reconciliation is like that. But forgiveness is not like that. In the midst of forgiveness, forgiveness can happen, but there's still consequences for what the person did. Right? And that's a really important thing for us to understand, and for you to understand if you're in a relationship that's broken, is that the person who hurts the other still has to deal with the consequences of what they've done. Your saying, I forgive you, doesn't mean that that person's free. Those family members saying, I forgive you, to Dylan Roof, doesn't mean he's not going to be in jail for the rest of his life, or worse, right? And most importantly, forgiveness is possible without any repentance. Okay? If the person doesn't want to come back, repentance means to come back, right? Return. And it's possible to never return to a good relationship again, but to forgive. Now, I want to tell you these things because when I started to understand forgiveness, it made it feel a lot more possible. And it made me understand why Jesus would say, not seven times, 77 times or 770 times, infinite number of times, you have it in you as a follower of Christ to forgive another person. But I know that I'd mixed it all up with reconciliation and repentance and consequences and all of these things. And I did a lot of studying for this sermon to make sure that these things are right. And this is right. This is what Jesus is calling us to. This is the kind of forgiveness Jesus needs you to have in your life. And that doesn't mean that reconciliation is never possible, but I tell you that reconciliation can never happen if forgiveness doesn't happen first. The person who has been hurt needs to say those magic three words, I forgive you. I forgive you. For any kind of reconciliation or any kind of relationship fixing in the end. But I want to promise you that you can do it. Let me tell you the story of Corrie ten Boom. You don't know her. Her family, Dutch, helped Jews hide out in the hiding place. There's a book about it, right? And there's a song about it. And her family was helping Jews hide out from the Nazis during World War II. And they were caught. And Corrie and her sister, I think her name was Bessie, were imprisoned in a concentration camp toward the end of World War II. And somehow they survived. Her sister did not survive. And kind of like Pastor Shamron, Corrie ten Boom and her sister were kind of like picked on and tortured by this one Nazi guard. And they never knew his name, actually. But he would actually go into the women's showers, and he would, he was like the women's quarters guard, and he would go in the women's showers and torture them and beat them, and he would just leave them to the very point of death. And he was there when her sister died. But Corrie ten Boom made it out. And because of her story, she was often traveling all around Europe to tell her story of how God helped her to survive. And she had a really great sermon on forgiveness that she gave. Except one day she tells a story that she was in Munich, in the German city of Munich, and she was preaching at a church, ironically, on forgiveness. And after the sermon she'd given, and it was powerful, and people were crying, a really old German guy comes up to her, and she said, "I recognized him right away. That's the guard. It was the very guard who was there when my sister died, who tortured us, who made our life a living hell. And he didn't remember me. I could tell. Because he tortured thousands of people. And so, how could he just remember me?" But he came up to me and said, "I used to work in that concentration camp. I was there." And she said, "I was just frozen." That's what Corrie ten Boom said. She couldn't say anything. And she just looked at him. And it's amazing how much power somebody has in that moment, right? And here's this guy, and he tells her, "Since I was a guard, I've given my life to Christ. And so I just want to ask for your forgiveness. I want to ask for your forgiveness for the things I've done." But he didn't remember her in particular. And she said, "I never had so much power in my life. Standing here in this church full of people, I could have destroyed this guy by telling my story and the things that he'd done to me. But I also had the power to forgive him." And she says, "I don't know how I had the strength to say what I did." But she took his hand and she said, "I forgive you." And here's her quote about that moment and what she learned from it. "Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It's a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness." There's so many of us in church who are just chained because we can't forgive. And this morning I want to encourage you to be able to forgive. That person doesn't even have to be in front of you to say it, but if that's possible at some point, that would be great. What do you do if the person who you haven't forgiven has already passed away? Parents or grandparents who hurt you, aunts or uncles. You can still forgive that person. Because what Corrie ten Boom says is right. That resentment, it's a door that's holding you back. That hatred is like handcuffs. The bitterness is chains, and the selfishness of it, that you just want to hold on to that hurt. Some people are fueled by that hurt. It's just selfishness. When God is calling you to let go, let it be free. Here's what this 15th century philosopher said about what forgiveness feels like. He says, "When we strive against all thoughts of revenge, when we will not do our enemies mischief, but wish well to them, grieve at their calamities, pray for them, seek reconciliation with them. You won't always get it, but you seek it. And show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them." Thomas Watson says, that's what forgiveness feels like. Not just even to say the words, "I forgive you," all those are the key. But to actually wish well for them. To be willing to pray for them, not against them. To never give up reconciling with them, just like God never quits pursuing our hearts for reconciliation. And showing ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them. It just means if you are willing to help them at all costs, at any time, that's when you know that you have reached the forgiveness that Jesus talks about. We need that, don't we? I bet you there's not a person in this room that doesn't need that for something. And so this morning I want to invite you. I want to invite you into this kind of freedom. I want to invite you to break these chains. And we're going to pray a prayer here at the end that we all know. The Lord's Prayer. But there's that part in the middle that we probably never take seriously enough. The part that says, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." And this morning, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to stand up. We're going to pray it. And in the midst of that prayer, I want you to let go. I want you to think of the broken relationship, the person who hurt you. And I want you to say in your heart, "I forgive you." So that when we get to that part that says, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors," we can really mean it. Maybe for the first time. Because a church full of people who are chained by hate is a church that's chained from fully realizing destiny and the calling that God has on it. And when I come here, I see so much in you. It's like my third, fourth time to come to Canaan over these years. There's so much in you. But we don't have to be chained by the hurt. God wants us to set it free. How many times? Not seven. Maybe not even 77. Maybe 770 times we can forgive. Forgive us our debts, we want to say this morning to God, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I'm going to give you a minute of quiet time. Then I'm going to call you to stand together, and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Stand together and let's recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Father God, there is no hurt too big or too small that you haven't called us to forgive and that you haven't given us the strength to forgive. And we're thankful that we don't have to forgive and forget. That's a horrible saying. We can just forgive. And Lord God, we pray. I pray for each person here, for the hurts that they've carried and the baggage that they've dragged along with them through life. And pray, Father God, that you will help them to be a forgiving people, ready to let it go and just be free and experience the freedom of their shackled hearts that you desire for them and you pursue them for. And you called them here this morning so they can hear that they can let that go. Father God, we pray they can forgive today and they can become a forgiving people and a forgiving body of Christ. Lord God, our hurts are many in this world. It's a part of this sinful nature. But God, we thank you that you forgive us of all the times that we've hurt you. And you give us the power to forgive others, God. Help us to not make today the only time that we forgive. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.